All right, everybody. It is the Working Fans Podcast with the man they call Dave. And today we have the most successful wrestler. I don't think this is being too egregious. The most successful wrestler in the history of New Heights Wrestling. Cali Man, welcome to the show.
That's right. Statistically speaking, you are correct, sir. I am probably the most successful that's ever been at New Heights Wrestling.
No doubt, man. We just won the Bulldog Bash Battle Royal. You've held every championship in New Heights Wrestling. How long have you been working for New Heights Wrestling right now?
I've been with it since day one, ever since they were started up in Floral, Alabama. And the original plan for New Heights was to give the newer people, the newer workers, the newer wrestlers a place to work. And because there was a lot of places back then where a lot of new guys, which I was a younger guy then, I was only about 2 years into the business, maybe two and a half. They were treated as job guys everywhere they went. And New Heights kind of wanted to give them a chance to shine. And since, you know, I stuck with them ever since. I was Mr. Personality when I debuted way back then. I wasn't even the Cali Kid yet.
Wow. Full circle with Kelly Clark. That's very interesting. I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't want to go back behind the curtain too much, but I will say you and Kelly have great chemistry in that ring together. Like when we've called matches, I'll just say it. Anyone who listens to this, like when I call a Kelly or Cali match, I'm like, okay, we're going to be in for a good time. You guys generally just have really good work together.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a lot of that stems from the fact, and I'm not trying to date myself too much here, like I said, how long I've been around, but Kelly's a very young man, and he started watching me wrestle in a little town called Bonifay, Florida, and he never really watched wrestling on TV, which is a lot different from how a lot of guys start. You know, a lot of guys are huge TV fans, the guys on TV, you know, the Hulk Hogan's back in the day and the Ric Flair's, or in my case, the Shawn Michaels, the Bret Hart's in the 90s. But he only had indie wrestling to watch. And so I was his favorite indie wrestler. So he started kind of cult following me around. And when he got of a certain age and started training, he just figured, why not, you know, steal from the best. In a way, is what's his opinion. So he's adopted a lot of my stuff. And I think just because we have such similar styles in that nature, it's very easy for us to wrestle out there.
Not to make this about Kelly, but he's an interesting guy in the sense he's young. Like you said, I'm in my 40s. I'm talking to him. He's young, and he's telling me about watching Gorgeous George matches and Buddy Rogers matches. Like most kids his age are not watching that stuff. So good on him.
Yeah, he's doing the right thing for sure. Tape studying is still a thing, even though it's not really tapes anymore. It's streaming. It's modern, but it's still watching the greats. And you got to remember, there's an old saying in the wrestling business that if it's been gone for 7 years, hasn't been used in 7 years, nobody's going to remember it. You might as well bring it back. So I'm sure he's stealing stuff from Gorgeous George that nobody even knows Gorgeous George. So they just think it's Kelly coming up with it, which is great. Good for him, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Something I noticed too. Call like matches with him, and I noticed like he'll pull out like an axe all of a sudden. And I'm like, Larry Henning, Kurt Henning. I haven't seen that in forever. So you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
You said it. You know, one of the questions I would normally ask people is fandom. You said already Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels were guys you grew up on. I'm with you. People will say, are you a Bret guy or a Shawn guy? No, I love them both. They were both great at what they did. I'll just ask you, maybe some of your favorite Bret Hart matches.
Oh, I mean, here's the thing, like when you're young and you're watching it on TV, it's a lot different than when as you get older and you start actually getting into it, you know, you actually start noticing the more. So like, I would, of course, say like Bret and Shawn from WrestleMania 12 as a kid was like the match for me, watching two guys go 60 minutes. But then you kind of realize as you get older how many guys went 60 minutes and how that was like the norm back in the day. And they were kind of just paying homage to that Ric Flair style 60 minutes at every town match. But then you go back and you kind of look at more like Bret and Owen from WrestleMania 10. And you kind of see the little nuances and technical, like you said, the chemistry between those two guys. And it's just kind of like, so anytime Bret and Owen got in there, Bret Mr. Perfect from the King of Ring, I think, gets forgotten a lot about because of the first Mr. Perfect and Bret match. I believe it was SummerSlam 91, maybe. Yep. I might be off on the dates a little bit.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Man, but then you go watch, you forget about their King of the Ring match they had when Bret first won that King of the Ring in 93, maybe. And like, that's the hidden gem in there you don't watch. He had a ladder match, actually, all the way up in Canada. That was really good. I can't remember who it was against, but I remember watching it on the Bret Hart DVD. There's just like little hidden gems. I think that a lot of people don't realize how good Bret was until you really dive a little deeper than the WrestleMania 13s, of course, which are masterpieces and stuff.
No, no doubt. And I think that WrestleMania, that King of the Ring match you're talking about too, it's a semi-final match with Mr. Perfect. Yeah.
Right. So,
but it's like the best match. And it's funny you said that. A couple months ago, I heard Nick Aldis actually. He's like, I'm a Bret guy.
Yeah.
I'll watch that match you know, just when I'm in the mood to learn something, I'll go back. I feel like I'm always learning something watching it.
Well, yeah, and Brett on that night in King of the Ring, he also had three different matches with three very different guys because him and Bam Bam Bigelow were the main, and that was amazing. And not that Bigelow couldn't work, but I mean, he just, you know, he wrestled such a different style than a Kurt Hennig, a Mr. Perfect. But definitely Mr. Perfect's another one that, like,
yeah.
If you're not trying to sell, like, I try to sell, like, Mr. Perfect every chance I get, you know?
Yes.
Like, if I get kicked in the back of the head, I always flip. I don't just fall on my face, you know? As much as I love the Ric Flair face dive, I like to do the over-exaggerated. And I'm getting a little older, so it's always getting a little tougher to spin as much as I want to. But especially when I was younger, I was ping-pong balling around quite a bit with my bumps.
No, that's awesome, man. That is awesome to hear. Did you come from an athletic background before you got into wrestling?
Yeah, definitely, especially out in California. I am legitimately from California, by the way. That's not all fluff, as they would say. I spent a lot of my youth out there, went through most of my high school out there. And, I did amateur wrestling because back when you're a kid, you think that's the only way to get to the pros is you have to be like an amateur wrestler who transitions into the pros. And I really enjoyed that. I was actually pretty talented still at basketball. I've always been a decent basketball player. My family with my dad and my brother, everybody played basketball. So I got into it through that. But yeah, basketball and wrestling, never much cared for the football. I always thought it was rigged. So I don't like that. I don't like that fake stuff.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about you've been at New Heights since day one. Who trained you to get into pro wrestling, though? Who's your trainer?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of a hodgepodge, really. There was one particular guy. His name was Pretty Boy Donnie B. You might have heard of him. He's a little bit a little out of the scene in and out here lately, but there for a while over in a little town called Alpha, Florida, which is just a in the sticks, you know, and has a community center that, you know, you can hit the roof if you jump too high in the middle of the ring. But I mean, it was a place to start. The Road Dog was booked on a show out there. I seen in the flyer with Road Dog on it. So me and my friends went out there and I inquired afterwards, like, how could I get into this? The guy said he would start training me for $25 a session if I just showed up every week because I would run every Saturday over there. And I kind of learned my bumps and stuff there. And it took me a little while to realize I was going to need more than that. But a lot of guys had hands in it. There was Trooper Jack Patterson and Steve Dalton. Just a lot of different guys teaching me different things, Stephen Goins. And then, but eventually I smartened up and with Waylon and Chris Ty and Joe Milo and a few guys, we all went up to the Harley race camp. And that's where I really started learning. That was probably 07, 08. And like, you think you're great. You know, you think, you know, the Cali man's on top of the world. Cali kid back then was on top of the world. And, then you go up there and realize like with all these talented guys and like how it's really done, it's kind of opened our eyes and really grounded me. You know, as far as like, I still got a long way to go and a lot to learn. And I'm still learning to this day. I've done the Dudley Boys 3D Academy training camp. I've done a lot of different seminars with Dr. Tom Pritchard and just picking it up everywhere I can.
No, that makes sense. It also reminds me of something me and Joe were talking about before when, you know, comedians, we interview comedians and they would get their chops, you know, by going to different comedy clubs and trying different improvs or working with different people every night. And it's the same thing with wrestling, right? You're trying to go to these different training camps, pick up a little something from this person and this person, and that makes a lot of sense. Yep. What would you say in your career so far has been some of your matches to you that stand out?
Like I said, not to date myself, but I've had so many. I'm really an every Saturday journeyman kind of guy. So, I mean, but anytime I get to in there with, like you said, like a guy I have chemistry with, I just know it's going to be an easy night. Standout ones would be like me and Soldier.
Right.
I don't think we've ever had even an off night when we're in there with each other. We know each other's style. We know what each other wants. Like we know what each other can do. Same thing with me and Kelly or me and Chuck, Chuck Diamond, because I helped train Chuck and bring him in. So we have always had like a good chemistry. Even a guy like Waylon, I don't think me and Waylon have ever had a bad match. We, you know, we have wrestled each other in a long, long time. Maybe down the road, the two originals from New Heights can go at it one more time, and I'll put the big guy in his place. You know, show him I can still get it done against him. But anytime it's just those people with chemistry, man. There's no one match that really stands out. I try to give it all, as you know, every time I go in there. But like, especially those guys you got that chemistry with, man. That's when it stands out. I think we had a three team ladder match. Me, Bird at the time, the Heartbreakers against the Arrogant Americans, against the Hardway Brothers, which is Preston Veston and Marcus O'Reilly. And man, we tore the house down that night. That was a super fun match. But once again, we had chemistry with all those guys. Like Mike Faison's another one. You put me and Mike Faison in there, it doesn't matter. We're going to have a great match.
No, no doubt. I mean, I've gotten the privilege of calling a lot of these. It's funny you say these names, and I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Great match. You've always, since I've seen your work, been a very entertaining guy. And I mean, I just, you know, it's no blowing smoke. It's the truth. But would you say, like, as a kid, we'll go back to the beginning a little bit here. Were you kind of a ham? Did you like to play be the funny guy? Was that the way it was?
Oh, yeah. I always, that's one thing that even my friends would say about me is that, like, Because when I was young, I had acne all over my face. I was not the most charming looking guy, but it only took people a couple of seconds of talking to me to realize that, you know, I was overwhelming them with charisma that I've had. I've always been quick witted. So that comes from my dad, who was always cracking. We always crack jokes back and forth. So you have to think fast,
yeah.
You know, and to come back and burn the other guy real quick, just like he burned you. So, you know, you get a quick wit about you. And I've always kept that. And I kind of just dialed up and down is when I need it. And it's got me in trouble at work a few times, you know, just saying things that pop off the top of my head. But other than that, man, in the ring, I think it becomes as a great tool to be able to end up my promos, which I know you said you marked on a few of my promos before we started recording. And it's a matter of a lot of that stuff's off the top of my head. I don't have a script. I only ask for a bullet point of what, you know, maybe I'm supposed to get across. And then I kind of just let it riff from there. And most of the time, somehow I get a gold instead of clay when I go digging into those holes.
It's absolutely the case, man. I mean, there's such a skill to it that I don't know if today's audience always appreciates as much as they should. I know some do, but like I was talking to somebody and they were complaining about The Rock possibly being in a match at Mania. And they're like, well, he doesn't have the skill set. And I'm like, listen, like, maybe he's not going to do a triple moonsault. But a guy who can make it a cultural thing to raise your eyebrow has some charisma and has some talent. Like, that's a skill, you know? And I think what you're talking about, too,
yeah,
just to entertain people is a skill that's underrated, you know?
Sometimes it's about being more sizzle than steak. More sizzle than steak.
Absolutely. For sure, you know? What would you say is some of the best advice you ever received in pro wrestling?
I mean, check your ego at the door kind of, like, is like a vague term, but a lot of, like, the guys who have made it a little further than me, that's for sure. Just say, don't forget why we're here. Like, if you see two guys arguing in the locker room or even saying, like, I refuse to put guys over and things, the dumb things like that, it's just like, don't forget why we're here, which in the end game is to entertain the fans and give them a quality product to make them want to come back and buy more tickets and continue this business along. And your job, whether it's win, lose, or draw, is to tell a story and entertain the fans and hopefully keep them coming back and leave them satisfied enough to say, like, I'm going back to New Heights Wrestling. I'm going back to, you know, this organization or that. And I think as long as you're doing that, you know, you're going to go beyond, like you said, like, that's the thing about The Rock. People can complain all they want, but, like, The Rock draws in more than just wrestling fans. And even if only a small percentage of those wrestling fans or non-wrestling fans decide to become wrestling fans because they just want to see what The Rock was doing. Mm-hmm. And that's all it takes. Because what if, like, a 4 out of 5 people are wrestling fans, but they brought their one buddy to New Heights who's not a wrestling fan just to check out what this New Heights thing is. And then you're so worried about if you're winning or losing or, you know, just bickering and you're thinking about the wrong things. And all of a sudden you go out there and have a stinker and a dud, or you suck in general because that's your attitude. And then that's all going to come through. And then that fan is probably going to be like, well, that was dumb. I'm never coming back to one of these again. You have an equal chance to make them say, you know what? That was pretty entertaining stuff. Whether I think it's real or not, I was entertained and I had a good time. I'm going to go back to this New Heights Wrestling show and check it out again. And I feel like that's the best advice I've ever been given. Is just make sure you remember why you're there. And you're there to entertain the fans.
Sure. I mean, what you're saying, it makes so much sense, too. And, like, look at it like this as a job for a minute. Like, you're also, like, job security. I mean, if you're helping put on great matches and you're entertaining people, win or lose, you're going to be invited back.
Exactly. That's why the old Cali Man keeps coming back. There's some kind of value there, even though I, you know, maybe I think I should be ruling the world and they think I should be working down at the car wash somewhere. But either way, somewhere in between, I've kept coming back for more.
You're damn right, Cali. What kind of music does the Cali Man like?
Well, I'm not going to lie and say, like, the general answer. Everybody tries to be political and be like, oh, I listen to a little bit of everything, which is just not true with the Cali Man. I listen to a lot of old stuff. I've got an old soul. I've always listened to the Beatles, and not just the generic, I want to hold your hand Beatles. I get deep into their stuff. I like George Harrison's solo stuff, John Lennon's solo stuff. Paul McCartney's, he's got a hit or miss kind of thing with me going on. But also Jim Croce, great storytellers who can just, like, really, like, almost kind of related to wrestling in a way. Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, just these storytelling guys who can not only about the music, but it's about the lyrics and where it goes. And the song really makes you feel something. I feel like a lot of that's lost in newer music with me. I'm not trying to crap on anybody's music styling, man. But, I mean, it's terrible. Let's face the facts. And everything old is great. And that's the way it is.
I love it. Look, favorite comedian?
Norm MacDonald.
I like that.
The best. I've gone deep in the rabbit hole on his YouTube and things, and way before he was going to die, which unfortunately he passed away because we're never going to have that again. But every comedian will tell you, Dave Chappelle, all of them, who's their favorite comedian? It's Norm MacDonald. That's for a reason. It's like a lot of guys have been in the locker room, which always blows my head way up, always talk about me. And they say, like, hey, man, you know, I know you don't go bragging around about it, but we really, you know, every time you know, you're such a good entertainer, you know, like you were saying right there. And like, I feel like Norm MacDonald, and I try to be the Norm MacDonald of wrestling, which is just, even if I'm not the favorite wrestler of a lot of the fans, I know there's a lot of wrestlers who love my shtick and want me to keep it up. So,
absolutely, man. That's a great pick. So, favorite movie or TV show?
Oh, boy. It says so many. Anything with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, this cheesy from the 80s, I love. I always love the ridiculousness of some of that things and some of the things he says, like when he sticks the guy with a predator with a knife to the wall and he tells him to stick around and things like that. And being from California, of course, Arnold was always held a special place in my heart. So anything with him, TV shows, anything my wife makes me watch. Usually has to control that. So I've watched a lot of 90 Day Fiance and things that I really probably had no interest in and would never watch in my life. But now I know everything about the Real Housewives of Atlanta way more than I should. But it is what it is, man. You know, happy wife when it comes to outside the ring.
Say no more. Yeah, no, definitely. Good advice for anyone there. Final one, favorite food.
Oh, well, the Cali Man, Cooking with Cali, by the way, if you want to look up the hashtag on there, I'm quite the chef myself. That's what I do in my downtime when I'm not beating people up and winning championships. I like to cook up a storm in the kitchen. I love, I know that's just a generic answer for sure, but any kind of Hispanic or Mexican food, especially authentic, is delicious. I mean, you can't go wrong with tacos and burritos and quesadillas. But I mean, I can whip up a good steak too, man. If I whip up a nice steak, I could probably compete.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Like you said, you've been doing this for a while now. What are your goals for this year?
Well, this is the first year in a few years. I'm 37 years old now to give away, and I've been doing this a god-awful long time, since 2006. So as I get closer to that 20-year mark, I just want to stay as active as possible. This is the first time in years that I have every Saturday booked on my calendar, other than a few that I've decided to take off for myself. But I think that's only maybe two or three out of the entire year, Saturdays-wise, that I've that I'm going to be wrestling somewhere, whether it be Alabama or Florida or Georgia. And I got a few Fridays that have popped in there too. And so it's one of my more active years in probably the past 3 to 5 years. So I'm just going to hopefully try to keep the activity up, because if you never slow down, you never grow old, is what the Cali Man's always said. So I feel like I keep my body in motion, then I'm going to be doing this for a long, long time.
That's good to hear. We'd love to have that. We want to keep calling your matches. Cali Man, finally, anything you got coming up you want to promote? You already said Cooking with Cali. Anything at all, please let us know.
Well, I mean, like I said, I signed a little deal over there in the Dothan Mall. They have actually wrestling in the Dothan Mall over there at the Wiregrass Commons. So I'm there a lot of Saturdays. I try to do at least 2 Saturdays a month over at the mall, keep myself active and good. That's at New Wave Championship Wrestling. Of course, New Heights, man. I got Rod. I won't give away too much, but you see this trophy behind me is actually my Bulldog Bash Battle Royal, a trophy that I won for winning it. And that same night, I got to fight Soldier for the championship. And I got, in the words of Bret Hart, Soldier screwed Cali instead of Bret screwed Bret, you know. And I should have won the champion that night. My foot was under the rope, and you'll see it. I'm sure when you review the footage, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So, of course, my goal is to get where I haven't been in 12 years, at the top of that mountain, and breathe that fine air that you can only breathe when you're way up there at the top of the mountain in New Heights. And I want that heavyweight championship back, and I want what I get, and I get what I want.
Yes, you do. I've seen it firsthand. Cali Man, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate the time, and we're welcome.